Missed them by a block, but he said there's a lot of devastation around there. And that's Clarksville, Tennessee, right? So let's keep all those folks in Clarksville, Tennessee. And it does look like that we'll be having some weather coming through. So let's just pray for all. Any other prayer requests? Yes. Oh, Mark.
Pray for Wayne Williams and for his daughter Cordelia.
Okay. Let's keep Wayne Williams in our prayers and Cordelia. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am.
Right, also for my mother who went to the hospital last night. She's still she has the flu and some other issues right now. I'll get another update later this evening.
So let's keep Tony's mom in our prayers as she's in the hospital. Anyone else? Yes, Robert.
Let's put Mr. Harvey in our prayer. He didn't feel too good the last couple of days.
So let's keep Glenn Harvey in our prayers. If you reach out to him, I was going to say something, but his birthday was yesterday. So wish him a happy birthday. But let's keep Glenn and Ruth in our prayers. Anyone else? Yes, Amy. Appomattox Christian Academy. We will keep Appomattox Christian Academy in our prayers. You know anyone that goes there? Maybe. So let's keep Appomattox Christian Academy in our prayers. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our gracious Lord, we thank you as we are in the heart of this Advent season, that the excitement is continuing to build. We know it's a busy time, and in that the busyness and the chaos and all that's going on, it just seems to build the excitement that something important is in the air. We are waiting with bated breath to the coming of your Son. And we thank you and we pray that truly our holy God invading this world will be that which we focus on. That it will be that which we obsess about. It'll be that which we seek to have as not only the reason for the season, but the absolute reason for our being. For it's in Him we live and move and have our being. It's in Him we find joy. It's in Him we find, as we recognize today, a peace that passes all understanding. We know that we won't find peace in the chaos of the world, but even in the midst of the chaos, we have the peace that passes all understanding, given to us by the One who was born for us. We pray that as we offer these prayer requests to you, as we come to you in prayer, that we will exchange the cares and concerns of our hearts for the peace that only being with you can afford. So we offer these to you. We pray that you be with those in Clarksville, Tennessee. Thank you for protecting Tony's son. We'll be with those that had property destroyed and those that are being threatened with all the weather. We know that, as James said, life is a vapor. None of us can count on any security apart from you. So we just pray that you'll be with those in that area. We also pray that you'd be with Tony's mom as she's in the hospital. Bless, strengthen her. We pray that you'd be with Wayne and Cordelia, with Glenn and with Ruth. We pray that you'd be with the one that comes to our mind or the situation at this moment. We pray that you would be with the Appomattox Christian Academy, with schools and churches and organizations that seek to teach your word. We pray that you would add your blessings, your protection, your encouragement upon all those that are involved. Be with us this morning as we worship your holy name. And in the process of worshiping, may you find our worship acceptable through the Spirit, and may we be strengthened and encouraged and edified in the process. We ask all these things in your precious name. Amen. Let us turn to the front of the bulletin, and as always, we gather in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Make us to know your ways, O Lord, and teach us your path. Lead us in your truth and teach us, for you are the God of our salvation, for whom we wait.
Amen.
If we say we have fellowship with God while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not live according to the truth. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. Have mercy on us, O God, according to your steadfast love.
According to your abundant mercy, blot out our transgressions, wash us thoroughly from our iniquity, and cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and put a new and right spirit within us. Cast us not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation, and uphold us with the willing Spirit. Amen.
Let it be known to you that through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins is promised to you. He commanded us to preach and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. You'll look with me to the insert. We'll call one another to worship, and before we sing "O Little Town of Bethlehem," we'll worship through the lighting of the second Advent candle. You have been gracious to your land, O Lord. You have restored the good fortune of Jacob. You have withdrawn all your fury and turned yourself from your wrathful indignation.
Restore us, O God, our Savior. Let your anger depart from us.
Will you be displeased with us forever? Will you prolong your anger from age to age?
Will you not give us life again, that your people may rejoice in you?
Show us your mercy, O Lord, and grant us your salvation.
Listen to what the Lord God is saying, for he is speaking peace to his faithful people and to those who turn their hearts to him.
Truly, his salvation is very near to those who fear him, that his glory may dwell in our land.
Mercy and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other.
Truth shall spring up from the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven.
The Lord will indeed grant prosperity, and our land will yield to his grace.
Righteousness shall go before him, and peace shall be a pathway for his feet.
In days when God's people longed for peace, Isaiah declared, "Comfort, O comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that she has served her term, that her penalty is paid, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." Isaiah 41.
We who gather today also seek comfort and peace, yet we are unsatisfied with ideas of peace that tell us to keep quiet and go with the flow. We long for real peace, true peace, just peace.
We wait as people who yearn for peace, that there is truth in the unity, equity, and flourishing for all.
We light these candles as signs of God's shocking hope and just peace. May they be beacons calling us to repent and to live the good news of Jesus Christ as we wait and watch and labor for the day when all people can gather together to worship and glorify God. Amen.
First reading comes from Isaiah 41 through 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of God shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry. And I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, and the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not, say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, and gently lead those that are with him. The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever, who has made us your children. And as your children, we are bold to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Second reading is from 2 Peter 3, 8 through 14. Do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the bodies will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Gospel reading today is from Mark, verses 1 through 8. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it is written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight.'" John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." The word of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
You may be seated. I have to say, as much as I tease and like to tease people that put up Christmas too soon, the truth of the matter, in that one area, I'm not really a theological purist. I understand about Advent, but I got to tell you, I love Christmas decorations. And it's just beautiful in here. But the two things that really struck me today of the beauty and just the amazement of it. One was, most of you who read don't change much through the years. But when Cassie was reading, and I thought, we've known her all her life and have seen her grow from a toddler. You did a great job. You did. I bet your mama ought to be proud. Not to speak of your grandmother. But even more beautiful, wasn't it beautiful to see a choir up here today? Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And it's open for you. The beautiful thing about a small church is everybody, we need everybody to participate. So if you play anything from a guitar to a kazoo, we can use you. But we're grateful for being here. The peace and grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ be with you. We have an absolutely dynamic God. And I'm not so much saying that as a compliment of his energy or description of his personality. I'm using that word in a very technical way. We have a dynamic God. Our God is not a static God. He's not a deistic God. He's not a immovable God. He's not a one who can't be related to. He's not static. He's dynamic. He's always, in other words, in lay terms, he's always up to something. He's always up to something. The very first word of the Bible in Genesis 1:1, I bet you know the word, in the beginning, it's a Hebrew word, reshit. So the very first word in the very first book of the Old Testament is beginning. Mark, even though it's second in its canonical order, was the gospel that was written first. And guess what the very first word in Mark is? Beginning. Different word, it's arche, which is Greek. But both in the very first word of the Old Testament and the very first word of the New Testament is beginning. God is a dynamic God. He's up to something. And when we say beginning, it has two different aspects to that. As we read in Mark's Gospel today, beginning has two different aspects. It means you're the originator. In other words, God is the creator. But it also means it wasn't just one and done. It's continued. He is the sustaining God. As Paul says in Philippians 1, I am convinced that he who has begun a good work in you will continue to make it come about. God's up to something. In the original creation, in Genesis, he created something. He was up to something and he declared it good. And in the new recreation, in you, he's up to something. And it's good. Typical of Mark, he jumps right into the story. And we're going to be looking at Mark this coming year. Last year we looked at Matthew. Next year we'll look at Luke. And by the way, the Bible studies this Wednesday, we're going to be looking at comparing the four Gospels and why the distinctions. But we're going to be looking at Mark. And typical of Mark, he jumps right into the fray. Unlike Matthew and Luke, he doesn't have a genealogy. Unlike John, he doesn't have a lengthy prologue. He just jumps right in. And through it all, he shows that God is up to something. And if you'll allow me to tell you what I would call it God is up to a campaign. And I'm using that in a military way. He's up to a campaign of salvation. That's what he's about. And if you look in verses 14 and 15, if you'll look with me to that with Mark, if you don't have it, it's not a part of the reading we did, but in Mark 1, 14 and 15, I'd like to read. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. So this is where he really begins this process of proclaiming the kingdom. Now, the kingdom, the basileia totheia, the kingdom of God, isn't so much a static geographical aspect. Remember we said at the beginning, God is dynamic. So when we talk about the kingdom of God, it's not a place. It's his actively being involved in all of life. It's his sovereignty. It's, again, that campaign of salvation. See, Jesus didn't come to just give us some helpful, practical tips that would help us live our life a little better. He came, if you don't mind me saying it this way, he came to take over. He came into this world on a campaign. He came to rescue us from evil. He came to do what we couldn't do for ourselves, to rescue us. In verse 7, as you read when Judy read for us, John said, he who is mightier than I. In a couple chapters in John 3, Jesus is going to say that unless someone binds the strong man, he can't take the house. Remember when Jesus got angry? Remember what made Jesus angry? It was the not recognizing the authority, whose house it was. And remember when he made whips and drove the people out and kicked over the tables? And it's nice to know that there's a place in the kingdom for hotheads. But when he did all that, in his righteous indignation, remember what had made him angry? This is my Father's house. See, he came to take over. He is the Jesus meek and mild. That's his style. But he is the authority. I don't know if you've ever connected the dots. But we did it today, and there's a reason why. That's why our Eucharistic minister today, and I appreciate Judy filling in. That's why, just like in a courtroom, we say, all rise. Because in a courtroom, who owns that room? The judge does. And we rise when he enters. And the same person that brings the cross down, when the judge gives his verdict, what do we also do? We rise. And when we read the gospel, we rise. Because he is the mightier one. He is the strong man that bounds Satan. That's why he came. It's interesting, and I won't I don't want to get too much into it. We can do that at a different time. But if you look at Mark, and we'll see it as we go. In Mark 3, he says, unless you bind the strong man, you can't take over the house. He says that in Mark 3. Then in Mark 4, he calms the storm, showing that he has mastery over nature. Then in Mark 5, he heals one with demons, showing he has mastery over evil. Later in chapter 5, he heals a woman with the issue of blood, showing that he has mastery over illness. Then at the end of chapter 5, he raises Jairus' daughter, showing that he has mastery over death. So he says in John 3, I have come to bind and to take Satan and take this house back. This is our Father's world. And then he goes on to show he has mastery over nature, over evil, over illness, and over death. So why do you worry? Why do I worry? Why am I anxious? See, God is up to something. And it's good. And basically, he has a twofold work. He came to crush Satan. We read that in Genesis 3:15. Your seed will crush his head. He came to crush Satan. Amen. But there's another part of him, that compassionate, loving part. He not only came to crush Satan, he came to care for his sheep. You and me. He's up to something good. The rub is that his dynamic good work is like seed that's planted deep in the ground. And he's up to something good, but we can't see it, can we? If you planted seed, and I know we've got quite a few gardeners here that are quite adept at growing vegetables and whatnot, and I'm not. But I do know enough that if you plant that seed, you're not going to immediately get a harvest, are you? I remember, and I think it's the reason why I rebel against, I find nothing therapeutic about gardening other than the eating of the produce. And I think it stems from the fact that at the back of Boys Life magazine, I ordered something when I was, 10 or 11, and saved up my money, and I taped the coins to the card, and I ordered, and I was so excited to get a Venus flytrap. And I would be able to feed this plant flies and hamburger and other things, and I could see my Venus flytrap. Did any of you order one? I guess you're smarter than I am. And it didn't. It not only wouldn't eat flies and hamburger, it died. But I've learned that if you plant a seed, and it's good seed, and if you remember in Jesus' parables in Mark, that we'll see in a bit, on the sowing of the seed is always good because the seed is Jesus Christ. It's good seed. But if you plant it, you've got to leave it in the ground. If you kept digging it up and monkeying around with it and checking its condition and worrying, and you're worried, you're digging it up and checking the condition and analyzing and checking the temperature and overworking it, it's not going to grow. See, God is up to something good, but the rub of it, we can't see it. It's buried deep, but the seed is good. So what do we have to do, as any good farmer knows? We have to wait. And we have to trust. And we have to believe. But here, Isaiah helps us a lot, because remember what we heard in Isaiah today? The grass will wither and the flower will fade, but the word of the Lord will stand forever. Our God is up to something in your life. And he's up to something good, we just have to take his word for it. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let us stand and confess our faith together using the words of the Apostles' Creed. Together, brothers and sisters, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let us join together in the Eucharistic prayer. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Constant God, with you 1,000 years are like one day. We thank and praise you because you have not been slow about your promise, but have patiently waited that all might come to repentance. In John the Baptist, you sent a herald who embodied the prophecies of your chosen people and announced the coming of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through baptism, you offer us the forgiveness of sins, and after the water of cleansing, you clothe us anew in your Spirit. You invite us into the heritage of your prophets and the destiny of your saints. In your Son's death, you lay down your life for us. And in raising him from the tomb, you inaugurate your eternal kingdom of peace. And so we join angels and archangels and the company of heaven, singing forever of your glory.
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy God, you call your people to wait for and hasten the day of your coming. We long to open wide the gates and spread apart the everlasting doors, that you, our King of glory, may enter among us, and we may say, here is our God. Fulfill our hopes, and send now your gracious Spirit on your people, and on these gifts of bread and wine, that they may be for us the very body and blood of your Son, our Savior, who at supper with his disciples took bread, gave you thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to them, saying, take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this as often as you eat it in remembrance of me. After supper, he took the cup, and again he gave you thanks, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Gentle God, you feed your flock like a shepherd and gather your lambs in your arms. Speak tenderly to all who linger under the shadow of exile, imprisonment, exclusion, or rejection. Give your children the joy of knowing that they have served their term, that their penalty is paid, and that they shall receive back from your hand double for all that they have ached to lose. Where your people are isolated on a mountaintop, cry to them that their mountain will be laid low. Where they are in the valley of despair, whisper to them that they shall be exalted. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, hasten the coming of our new day begun. when we shall see the wonder of your tender face, when the grass never withers and the flower never fades, because you are all in all, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. To describe the nature of our King, the one who came to take over, the one dynamically working in our presence, the Eucharistic minister brings in the cross and we arise. The verdict is read, the Gospels, and we arise. And the same one offers you the chalice. Because the same King who came to crush Satan came to lay down his life and shed his blood for his sheep. A king who dies for his subjects. Greater love has no one ever received. So I bid all of those who love our Lord and Savior to come forth and to receive his gift to you, his gift of himself, his very body and his very blood, that we, in receiving that, will receive him and we will be strengthened, we will be healed. There'll be those that you can pray with if you would like to. This is our Passover lamb slaughtered for us for love. Let us keep the feast.
Now the body of Christ is broken for you.
The cup of salvation.
source of all good. The provision that's given, not only for our hope, but for our peace. As Creator God, you create what is not there. Ex nihilo, out of nothing, you speak, and it's there. We pray now that your word would speak the message of Jesus Christ, his hope, his peace, into our lives and our circumstances. We know your word is true, and may your Holy Spirit give us ears to hear and hearts to believe, and hands and feet that will act upon it. What a gracious God we serve. In your holy name. Amen. Let us stand and close our worship singing the final hymn.
To love and serve our Lord.
Thanks be to God.